If you are a criminal justice professional and for whatever reason you want to make a transition from the public sector to the private sector, maybe corporate security, maybe starting your own business, you do not want to miss this amazing roundtable discussion with four former law enforcement officers who'd made a successful transition into the private sector, and they all are very successful. Carlos Francisco, Brian Tuscan, Scott Walker, and Ryan Irwin are part of this amazing roundtable. Next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the top-ranked CJ Evolution podcast. Top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for the support. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We know you're going to love the show and the content. Long-time listener, welcome back and thank you. If you would take a moment and head over to Apple Podcast and rate and review this show, we sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for doing it. And discount all the noise that's out there. And remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. You know, it's such an honor and privilege to be partnered with an amazing company like Detectachem. Now, Detectachem is helping keep you, the criminal justice professional, safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This application-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com and check out the link to Detectachem. On to this amazing roundtable. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. You know, I am so excited. I am super pumped. This is one of the shows I've really been looking forward to in the last couple of weeks. I have an amazing roundtable. These experts are going to talk about, they're all law enforcement, prior law enforcement, and they're going to talk about making a transition, making a successful transition from law enforcement, the public sector, into the private sector. So with me is Brian Tuscan, Carlos Francisco, Ryan Irwin, and Scott Walker. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
So let's just go around really quick and just we'll start with Brian. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir, and then we'll just go to the next person and we'll get this discussion off. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Patrick, thank you for having me on your podcast. It's quite an honor to be with this distinguished panel.
Yes.
And I was a cop for almost 13 years. Law enforcement loved the job. Never thought I would leave. And I left mid-career on my own for the private sector. And so I spent 12 and a half years doing everything from patrol, specialized units, SWAT team, narcotics, detective, and then an opportunity presented itself. And we'll probably talk about how that you have to take a leap of faith if you're going to leave mid-career without the retirement. And so I work for a very large software cloud company in the Seattle area, and I'm a chief security officer. So I would love to give back to the law enforcement community, brothers and sisters, in blue, with insights. I have a website called coptocorporate.com that gives free information on how to transition effectively and to be thoughtful and intentional about leaving law enforcement, whether you want to retire or leave mid-career. You better be prepared. Just don't make a knee-jerk reaction. So thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's an honor, Brian. Ryan, let's go to you, sir.
Sure. Patrick, thank you so much for having me. I really, with the entire panel, this is really going to be fun. And, I'm excited about it. I just made the transition March. Yeah. So 17 years with the third largest state of Texas police agency. And I was the assistant chief of police. And I just made the transition. Just like Brian was saying, I 8 years away from retirement and made that call, and people were like, "What is wrong with you? What did you get caught doing? Can you talk about the investigation?" That kind of thing. But I, I really wanted to pursue. I knew that it was a young person's career. So when I did everything, kind of like Brian was saying, I did everything you could think of, all the divisions, but just really knew that it was going to eventually get to where it was something that I was going to have to transition to, and I wanted to prepare myself. And when my dream job, the opportunity arose, which I'm with now, corporate security, we handle that aspect of a lot of different, basically all verticals. But when it presented itself, I was prepared and made the decision, and it has been amazing so far. So that's my story.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Ryan. One and only Carlos Francisco. Go ahead, hey, brother.
What's up, everybody? So mine is real easy. I started with a big company called Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, where I had this dream about being a cop. I stepped away. I was a cop for a couple of years. After being a cop for a couple of years, getting paid $36,193, a buddy of mine came back to me. I stayed with the Disney company in this thing called part-time seasonal, where you could still work there on the high peak seasons. They said, hey, man, are you done with this cop thing, this cop dream of yours, and you ready to come back to the corporate world? And I said, well, what's up? What do you got? So he said, hey, well, we can start you at $58,000. So from $36,000 to $58,000, you don't have to wear a gun, a badge, and deal with the politics anymore. Do you want to come back? And I said, absolutely. So I kind of went right back to the corporate world, where I grew there. I stayed as a reservist. In Florida, you have one certification and one certification only. So it's not like California. It's three different levels of reserve and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Once you're a cop, you're a cop. That's it. So I was able to play cop on the weekends, be Mickey Mouse during the weekdays. And it was really great. But with that being said, I decided to start helping out the folks that needed to do this transition, kind of in a way, you know, everybody's going to revert back to Brian, kind of leaving this mid-career thing. So I started just kind of writing some stuff down, talking, recording videos on it. Shameful plug, my book's coming out June 30th. I don't know when this is going to come out, but it's going to be coming out soon. It's called So You Want to Get Into Corporate Security. You can get it on Amazon. And so I put all that together, met these amazing folks that you see here on this panel. And today, here we are, just trying to help out the folks, you know, that are thinking about transition. Here we are.
Love it. Love it. And Scott, go ahead, my friend.
Well, I'm going to be the one who's live remote out in the field for you. I'll be your field reporter here. my experience started right out of high school. I joined the military and got gamed like everybody who goes in the military. Their recruiter promised them one thing and you got another. And my recruiter said, oh, you can go into this rate. It's exactly like being on Cops. You've seen that Cops TV show, right? It's exactly like that. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's what I want to do. And I kind of fell in love with law enforcement from there on and got into federal law enforcement, became a federal agent, worked on a bunch of joint task forces for narcotics, counter narcotics, and the Joint Terrorism Task Force with the FBI. But I figured pretty early on in my career that last 10 years went really quick. I got to figure out what I'm going to do for the next 10 years. And then I ended up finding a mentor in the private sector. And he ended up bringing me into a role at a small sized tech company at the time, which now is quite large. And I grew up kind of with that company. That company was, when I joined, maybe a $1 billion a year company. And I think now it's at a $2 or $3 billion a quarter company. So I got to learn literally every aspect of security and investigations, executive protection, all from the ground level up. And about a year ago, I transitioned to running my own investigations firm. Now I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and try to dedicate some of my time, like Brian and literally everybody else on this call, to helping law enforcement officers make that jump, make that transition, because I have a sense of urgency here. You know, we're in a crisis. Businesses and companies really do need help managing this crisis, and the people that can do that are those folks who have been on that thin blue line. And they can come into the private sector and be successful and help mitigate risk to companies. We need that. Yeah. But you got to do it a certain way. You got to transition a certain way. And hopefully, Patrick, through this conversation that we're going to have, we can help a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so. And thanks, everybody, for their service in law enforcement. And I think, you know, the transition from law enforcement into the you know, and it just doesn't have to be law enforcement. It could be, you know, any public sector job into the private sector. I think so much of it has to do with, again, the people I talk to, that they have this mental block. Like they can't do anything else. So many cops, I talked to a lot of cops. I know all of you do. And Brian or Ryan, you're closest to it because you just retired and you were a deputy chief. So, and I was a commander. I mean, I hear this all the time. You know, I can't do anything else. You know, I can't do it. I'm pigeonholed into being a police officer. What are your suggestion panel of how officers, I'm not saying all cops think that way, but I think a lot of them do. I mean, how do you kind of break that barrier with that mindset that they can do anything they want to do?
I mean, I'll kick it off. One of the things that I've always said is that you can take so many things that you learn, leadership, especially, I mean, when you're in law enforcement world into the corporate world that they need it. So the thought and idea that all I can do is just be a cop and I'm a cop and that's all I was meant to do, I think it's a wrong mentality. And then people thinking about, well, you know, should I leave now? Should I leave later? I mean, Ryan's a perfect example of 17 years. Brian is a perfect example of what did you say, Brian? Brian, 14 to 12 years, something like that.
Close
enough. you know, me staying 2 years and then a 7 as a reservist, I'm like, you know, I'm really done with this. I don't need that. I don't need to carry a badge anymore. There's so many other things in the world. So it's kind of getting past the mind that all you are and you're going to be as a cop. There's a lot of great opportunities there for your family, for yourself, benefits, a little bit more money, though money shouldn't be everything. But there's a lot of great things that you need to start thinking about if you're in law enforcement today. And Pat, you had an awesome show where you talked about with Adam Wills on how tough law enforcement is today. You did a great job of breaking that down. So I appreciate you for that. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different ways, but yeah, you're worthy of coming out to the corporate world and making some amazing things happen. Like Scott said, and we need great folks in the corporate world today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I'd like to add about where a lot of police officers and I'm really specific to the police community and law enforcement professionals, federal government, special agents, and then military police, because that's my expertise. But a lot of what you're talking about, Patrick, is the undervaluing of their net worth of what they bring to the table. And I think it's just the terminology that they use. Even if they work patrol for the entire career, they have program project management background. Yep. Anytime you've come in and done something unique with the community, that's a project. There's a big beginning, middle, and an end. And you have to articulate that in your resume for the jobs that you're applying for.
Sure.
Now, if cops are the most confident people in the world, right? But there's some of them are just scared of the corporate world because they're scared of what they don't know. So you have to educate yourself. And that's where everyone on this call can help you educate yourself with just institutional knowledge and years of working in the private sector to tell you there are so many successful ex-law enforcement in the corporate security world or just private sector in general. So don't let that be an inhibitor. We can help you with that just through, you know, the coaching and guidance we're giving you.
Yeah. And I like what Ryan said, because I got some of the same stuff when I retired. It's this mentality of what did you do wrong? What are you running from? Is there an IA? Is there some sort of investigation? And again, it's just, you just wanted to go do bigger and better things, Ryan. You wanted to take it to the next level. But cops, I think immediately their mindset goes to worst case scenario instead of, hey, I just want to exit on top and I want to do bigger and better things.
Well, just for giggles, yesterday I looked up transitioning from law enforcement to the corporate side, what jobs are available. And it says security, private investigator, probation officer. It doesn't say anything other than very similar things. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I picked up on as well, is what Scott said. He had a mentor. I think it goes to, I mean, how many on this panel had a mentor outside of their profession?
Me. I had a couple of them.
Me.
I'll tell you, I had that salty field trainer, veteran officer, that said, let me give you the best bit of information I can tell you. Have friends that aren't cops.
Yes.
And I took it even further. I was blessed to have some amazing mentors in my life. But it came down to when I was new, and I agree with everybody on this panel, but especially like one thing, I know it sounds like I have a man crush on Brian, but I keep bringing up what Brian's saying.
We all do, man.
It's we okay. all do.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look at him.
But the profession is the most noble profession. I had nothing negative to say other than the exit strategy. And when I first, when I first started 2004, there was a lot of turnover. And I started seeing, oh, wow, this is there's no backside to it. There's nobody helping you. So I formally went to people and said, will you be my mentor? And I tell you, that's very hard for us to do. Mm-hmm. But I was blessed to have a law enforcement mentor that was also private sector. So I could go one-stop shop and ask questions. And it goes really to those mentors that show you, man, you are more than what you think, or you're not stuck in just one thing, I guess. And that's what really helped me is from the get-go, talking to these mentors, and they said, look, if you want to do this, you need to do this, 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 and this. And that's my goal today is, and every time I talk to somebody is, how can I pay it forward? And I challenge some of these new officers, even if they're 1 year, 2 year in, go to somebody, and LinkedIn is amazing. I have no other social media other than LinkedIn, but go to somebody and ask, you know, it doesn't have to be formal. Hey, fill out this contract, but, you know, really, truly saying, will you be a mentor for me? And I still do that to this day. I'm 3 months into my position. I love it. I have people that are supporting me, but I'm also wanting to get into certain verticals, and I'm reaching out to people and getting that dialogue.
Yeah.
And you would be amazed how many people, if you formally ask them, will you be a mentor? They're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool concept. So I would say starting with that, Patrick, is one of the best things.
And I like what you said too, and that's a good point. And a couple things, you know, a mentor doesn't have to be just somebody you're talking to. I mean, it could be you're listening to a podcast like Carlos's podcast, or researching Brian and learning what he's doing, or Scott. You don't have to have a phone call with a physical person every day. Some of my mentors, they don't even know that I'm their mentee with yep. podcasts and all this other information out there. But I like what you said too, brother, about just, you know, officers, brand new officers. Look, and you all know this, you're one call away from having to change a career.
Yes, sir.
So yet, what's your contingency plan? Now, I know you're young and you're going to bulletproof and you're going to live forever. We are all there. But that's just how I was brought up in the military and law enforcement. Okay, what is plan A goes south? What about B or C or maybe D?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think, and again, we're all there, but I think it's so important. I like what you said about even the young cops. Okay, reach out to those people. Become, asked if you can be their mentor, or you can be a mentee.
Yeah. So,
great point. Now, Patrick,
this is an issue too. There's no excuse anymore. Before, I live in LA and I just don't know anybody in security, or I don't know anybody in the private sector. That used to be the excuse.
Yeah.
That's gone. You have YouTube, you have TikTok, you have all this social media, you have LinkedIn, you have Facebook. There is no excuse. You should find something that works for you. Use your thumbs, Google something.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Google, to your point, you guys have said, how do you transition? Google that. What kind of jobs can I get in the private sector? Just ask Google, ask Alexa. Alexa will tell you. And so there's just no excuse with technology. You got to be up on technology because, and you even said it, Patrick, we think we're bulletproof and we're going to live forever. The truth is, more often than not, we're going to live longer and a more meaningful life than our previous generations,
mm-hmm.
right? So all the more reason for you to start finding out now, what do I do when I retire? Because I'm going to be 55, 65, too young to actually do nothing. People don't want to necessarily go and fish all day or play golf or whatever. So you got to do something. You have to find something that's meaningful for you.
Yeah.
And that's my goal, is to help them find that and be meaningful, be successful.
Well, and I think Brian alluded to it earlier where, you know, there's so many people out there just want something to fall into their lap. But like Ryan said, I mean, you got to do the work. You have to reach out, put your ego aside and reach out and say, look, I need some help with this. You guys are the experts. I need some help. Can you mentor me? And you're exactly right, Ryan. I've reached out to a lot of people and 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Pat, let me tell you something, man. How crazy is this? So we have a plan A, B, C every time we go into a call, right? We know operationally what we're going to do. We're going to do it. We're in a call. But we don't have a plan A, B, C for life and what's going on in our life when we're in law enforcement because we believe that's what we're going to do. I can't tell you how many people that I was a deputy with Seminole County Sheriff's Office, and, you know, they were giving us reimbursement for college education. Nobody was taking it. They were giving us the opportunity to take every single class that the county and the state would give us, and people would skip it for free, right? I can't tell you how many times I had the opportunity. ASIS is a huge group of folks in Orlando, Florida, because of the parks. And so they've been around for a long time. It's a huge chapter there. How many times I would tell people, hey, you might want to start dabbling on because you get to meet people. You get to talk to people. You get to shake hands and hug babies, as we used to do at Disney. And nobody ever took that opportunity. And I was at fault, too, because when I was a cop, I only hung out with cops. And we know that, right? And you're literally hanging out with people that do the same thing that you do, that ultimately, how do they expand your mind in a conversation? How do they help you see the outside world? You know, and so I failed at that as a police officer because that was my crew. You know, that's only who I hung out with, who I went to football games with, I went fishing with. I was in Florida, so we did a lot of boating and drinking, you know. But there was nobody else at that time that was expanding my mind, exchanging and opening my mind to a different belief or a different idea. Yes, I was the guy that, though I came from the security world prior to law enforcement, I might have said once or twice, well, the flashlight cops. Because now all of a sudden I'm better than them, right? You know. And I knew that they were probably making more money than I was. I mean, how sad was that? Yeah. You know, and so if you're doing that today, if you're listening to the show and you're in law enforcement, you need to start changing your mind, taking all those education opportunities when they come to you, change your mind and understand that the corporate world is takes a lot of deep understanding. Physical security is a difficult world. You're talking about technology systems, cameras, intrusion detection systems, access control systems. There's so many things that you have to think about. So I'm just throwing those 2 cents out there. Just for folks that are out there today to wake up.
So could I just expand on that? When Carlos brought up ASIS, a lot of people in law enforcement do not understand what ASIS is. So just think of it as akin to IACP. If you've ever been to the IACP conferences where they have all of this academia and new trending in policing, well, it's no different in the security profession or the private security profession. The misnomer, because all of us that sat in patrol, we all know you roll up on a call and you come across the security officer that for whatever reason, want to know what kind of grips you had. I'm aging myself because I had grips. But you know what I'm talking about. Hey, officer, what are you carrying? And so you want to avoid that person because you put them in this bucket, as Carlos was saying. It's a profession. And the field security or the guarding security officers, it's a very important role. And some are more professional than others, but it's just one small component of the overall security discipline, which is 10 times bigger than law enforcement. They are the front lines. Yeah. And it's a very professionalized organization with certifications. And that's where it scares some police officers, because when they think they know everything and then they actually apply for a job and don't even understand what's on the job description, then they get scared. So joining organizations like ASIS and educating yourself in local chapters, that's some of the first things you should do to control your destiny. Mm-hmm. You control your destiny. Don't expect it to fall in your lap. Yes. You do your homework. As Scott was saying, you do your research, and the ones that just kind of call you up out of the blue, hey, I'm retiring next week. You got that job for me? No, I don't. You're going to have to work at it. And there are so many more making the successful transitions, like Ryan, who's new to the game, but the homework and the hard work you put it, the time that you put into it and being vulnerable, right? And being curious of something outside of your expertise and control. And we know as cops, we're very insular. We only hang out with cops because we understand each other. You got to take that step and go outside. And you know what's going to help the profession? Because if the public don't know you, they're not going to know that 99.99% of all cops, they're normal human beings. Your family knows that, right? But we keep it inside. So control your destiny.
Yeah, I love it. And I remember talking to Carlos a couple of weeks back when he was on my show. And Carlos, you made a good point. You said something along that, I'm paraphrasing you. You said something along the lines of, every contact that I made as a police officer, I was very professional. I knew that someday that this person might help me on my path. So can you expand on that, brother?
Well, it's really weird. This is the thing. I came from the Walt Disney World Company, as a lot of people know. I already said it. There was 1,200 at the time when I was there, security officers. Now it's probably 1,500. Out of the 1,500, it's probably 90% of them actually came from law enforcement. I'm talking about captains and NYPD when, you know, stuff went down in 9/11. I'm talking about one-star generals. I'm talking about lieutenant colonels. I'm talking all these little folks that you see out there that you think, oh, this elderly security person is just a security person, or, you know, whatever it is. Even the young ones, you know, did the military 12 years or something like that, intelligence, whatever. Man, I had those too, you know, E5s, E6s, and up and down, you name it, and I had them. And so what I always tell people is this, is that if you're a law enforcement officer, you have to bring your A game to every conversation that you have. So if you go to a call in a corporation, you better bring your A customer-centric game, because guess what? When you retire 5 years from now, or three, or two, or one, guess who you could easily go to and say, hey, do you have an opportunity for me? And they're going to remember that you were the coolest, nicest, most humble cop that they ever had. And like, you know, that's the human being that I want on my team. And that's a normal thing. And it happens all the time. So that security officer that you dealt with when you came on a call on a scene in a major corporation, right, that by the time you retire 5 years from now, that person might be the hiring manager for a position that you're going to be in the loop of a position that you might be going in for. So don't you want to be the nice guy? We hire so many, and this is a true story, and you could go look it up. We hire so many Orange County deputy sheriffs or leadership. I'm talking about brass now, into positions at the Walt Disney Company, is because they understand the Disney approach to things. They're inside of our area all the time. They're making connections, shaking hands, and hugging babies, but they are well-versed on how to bring the customer approach. And that's the kind of leaders that everybody wants. So you have to bring your customer approach to every single interaction from now on. Change your mind from now on, because those people are going to hire you in the future.
Yeah.
That's about it there.
Well said. Scott, do you have anything to add, brother?
Yeah. Relationships.
Yep.
And just like command staffers will understand this easier. Just like in city council, you're looking for people to connect with so that you can move your agenda forward, protect your officers' budgets, those kinds of things. It's the same thing when you get ready to transition. You need a network around you. But that network can't be folks that you've reached out to on LinkedIn and said, hey, bro, are you guys hiring? Like Brian said, no, I'm not hiring.
You have to build those relationships.
It's more than just looking for help. It's how can I help you?
Yeah.
And the approach that I had when I was first coming in was, I have some ideas about what y'all do in security, but you tell me. And then I shut my mouth and I listen.
Yes.
You tell me what we're doing or what you're doing and how you do it. I will learn your culture. I will learn how you do it. And I don't know if it worked for me so well because I was in multi-agency task forces. And so when I was working with LAPD or LA sheriffs or CBP or some other agency that I'd never, or foreign law enforcement agencies, I had to understand their culture. I had to understand how they used jargon and dialogue and how they got their mission done. And I literally adapted that to the private sector and have learned and worked for iconic tech companies since.
Yeah.
But you've got to be open and you've got to be listening and you've got to network. And more than just, hey, bro, are you hiring? It's got to be something that gives and receives.
And I like what you said really quick about that, Scott. I just want to elaborate a little bit more on that. And Brian, you can come in. Is if you're one of those people out there that is just trolling social media and looking for people, any of these gentlemen on here, in positions in corporate security, and just blindly sending a friend request and then asking them for something, that's not the right thing to do. That's not a good way to make a connection, because, you know, I would be very, very turned off by that. And I don't think it's professional. Brian?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind the connection.
I'm not saying the connection, but then the immediate give me something.
There's always a follow-up.
Yeah.
You know, you get the ping and then you get the resume. I wanted to add to Ryan's point on mentors and Carlos and Scott about, you know, the networking. There's something beyond just mentoring, because when you get to our level, and a lot of people know that we're impactful in the industry, we do not have the time to mentor and coach everyone. But there's this thing called being a champion and being a sponsor. Okay. There's a huge benefit if you conduct yourself professionally, even with the lowest level of officer who may be the hiring manager, as Carlos said. Being a sponsor means, hey, I had my eye on someone that I did meet through LinkedIn because they post something. They're very thoughtful. I really like what they say. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to gravitate to this person. I don't even know who they are. But they said, hey, they're looking for a particular role. I might have that network or connection to bring them an opportunity as a sponsor, not even meeting them, but because how they portrayed and conducted themselves, mm-hmm. and not just coming in the easy way to say, hey, here's my resume. What do you have? And I don't want to be disparaging or demeaning to any of our law enforcement brothers and sisters out there, but you got to understand, you got to work hard to get that really great job out there. It's just not going to, well, we all know people that where it fell in their lap, right? And you know, they're just like running the show for some NFL team. I bow down to you, right? Like,
that doesn't happen all the time. Unicorns.
It is. So, you know, get that, the network, but also how you conduct yourself. What is your social profile? Social profile, the 6 degrees of separation, somebody's going to find out how you really operate.
Yeah.
I mean, when I came to the private sector.
Good point.
Ryan, how many people are calling you for jobs, right? Like, hey, you want to have coffee? You want to have lunch? Hundreds, right?
Yeah.
And I recall telling some people early on when I got into the private sector, when they were saying, hey, you got something for me? I'm going to retire soon. I'm just like, you're the last person on earth I would want in a private sector. You would not make it one day. I'm just trying to be kind. Right. Because I know how you operated in the PD and you in the private sector, it's based on what you deliver, right? It's your results that you deliver. And so you have to know what you're getting into.
One thing that I will point out too is, you know, I started talking and just backing up what everybody's saying. I started talking about my transition 8 years ahead of time is what I thought. Positioning myself, talking to different people, I started seeing, hey, you know, this is what I need to do. This is what needs to happen. And stepping out of your comfort zone, I saw the company I'm with now, Marksman, and I saw, man, this is what I want. This is a family atmosphere. This is the professionalism, the customer centric, everything. I reached out to my current VP and just said, hey, can you look at my LinkedIn and tell me how I am going to transition at some point? Can you look at it and tell me what looks good or what needs to be worked on or whatever? And try not to be overbearing, but you know, wanted that feedback. And I did that to a lot of different people, but just reached out and it happened to work way before I thought it would. But you know, it is true. You know, a lot of officers, we have a plan A, B, and C, and then we just stick with A. It's like, well, you know, I'm a year out of retirement. So, and like a previous on being on Carlos's podcast, I said, you know, if you knew you were going to a foreign country in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they were going to drop you in the middle of it, what would you do? Learn the culture, learn the language, know how to handle your and survive. But you don't see a lot of law enforcement, you know, brothers and sisters that do that. It's like, well, I'm a year out. Oh, whoa, whoa, wait a second. I'm a year out. Now let me start making some calls and start trying to talk to people. And that's why, you know, they always revert back to who they knew and, hey, let me check on this person. And, oh, they're doing good. So, hey, let me call and see if I can jump in. And I mean, all of you have already said that, but it's the preparation. And I was just blessed to get this ahead of time. I thought, man, this is going to be a long process. I don't know the culture. And it still happens. I mean, I was talking with someone the other day and I said, POV. And they're like, what? I'm like, okay, personal owned vehicle. Sorry. You know, and people are like, okay, POV, whatever. But I mean, it's going to be a disconnect to some extent, but that preparation and, you know, ASIS, going and getting my CPP was huge. Yeah. People are like, whoa, wait, this police officer got it? Okay, how? And it's like, you can't just have that magic wand that gets you the things that you need to get really quickly. And, you know, what Carlos brought up as well, I mean, in Texas, I know there's millions of dollars that is not being used. And I went to get my master's and got it funded through the state of Texas. And I mean, I'm very blessed. I will never take that for granted. But they were like, we can't get people. We can't get law enforcement to come do this. So, you know, that's...
And why is that, Ryan? I mean, you were a deputy chief. You were at that 30,000 foot view. I mean, why... I mean, I was a commander. I was at somewhat of the view, not to the view you saw, but I'll let you go first and I'll give you my opinion.
I think it's just waiting till the last minute. Like,
procrastinating.
You know, it really is. It's like, you know, law enforcement love change. Of course not. We hate it. So, you know, a lot of the times it's like, oh man, I just worked a 16-hour shift. I'm not going to go take this class. This is, and not having somebody that you know is going to show you that 30,000 foot view of how this is going to benefit you way down the road. And they don't want to put the time in. And, you know, I preached that for years. Hey, you know, chief, how come I didn't get sergeant? Well, I'm going to be real with you. Let's sit down and look at it. You know, you can't go in and say, I've had this amount of years of patrol. And just like Brian brought up, you don't talk about anything else. It's like patrol. I'm good, you know, and trying to hurry up and hustle and get these different things. But I don't think if you don't go to the executive level, it's really not preached, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the way I feel on it, Patrick.
I agree. And really quick, I also agree with what you said, Ryan, but I also think it's who these officers are hanging out with. You know, I mean, a lot of them are these other officers that are, hey, you don't need that, do that crap. You know, I mean, Jim Rohn, I think, said, you know, you're the average of the five you associate with. You know, so who are you associating with? We all know that law enforcement, again, this is not a dig on law enforcement. I love my brothers and sisters, but it's a pretty much a toxic environment. And then, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of the job. We have toxicity in a lot of departments. So break away from those people that are toxic and you know, because misery loves company, right?
Well, and it goes back to those unhealthy competitions,
yeah,
too.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Carlos.
Go ahead, Carlos.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So, you know, the funny thing about law enforcement is that, you know, and a lot of people say you have to have a 4-year college degree, and a lot of, especially where I worked, if you want to be a sergeant, right? If you want to go up to at least sergeant, you better have a 4-year degree. But nobody talks about it and leads you to that. Nobody makes it a priority within your squad or your team or whatever to go do that. And as a team, do this thing together. It's like it's this kind of weird competition in the background that if I have more than you, then I'm going to win at the end. I'm going to be in the top 3 in the sergeant's list kind of thing. And it's not so... It is this slight competition. I don't want to tell you the good things, which is college degree and all this other. Like, I'm going to stay quiet because when the time comes, I'm going to have one. You won't. And that gives me a better opportunity. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but there is some of that in it. Instead of leading people, the entire squad, to go get a degree, you know, they're not really helping each other out. And we fail at that in law enforcement, man. We truly fail at that in law enforcement and helping them to the next career. You know who does it really well or done it for a long time? Military. Military put a lot of resource into making sure that people know, hey, go get your college degree. Here's the money for it. Hey, make sure you go to these classes as you're about to retire 5 year out. They have 5 year paperwork, 3 year paperwork, 2 year, 1 year until you're out. We don't do that in law enforcement. We need to start helping each other out.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. I mean, we all know. I mean, law enforcement officers are transitioning out of law enforcement now more than ever, it seems like. Man, I don't know how too many cops out there that aren't looking for an exit ramp. So start making yourself more attractive right now, more marketable. Brian, how can an officer out there just, how can they make, and we've been talking a lot about it, but how can they make themselves more marketable and to rise up among the competition? Because there's a lot of competition out there.
You have to differentiate yourself. And for those that still hung on to this podcast, because when Ryan was talking about his master's and Carlos, and because there's just some people who are just like, man, I ain't going to school. I just don't have the time. And so there are other alternatives, right? There's with online and certificates. Those are your best non-college degree options because you can get specialized certificates, whether it's in business, whether it's in project management, program management. There are tons of certifications in being certified in software and software usage, office software. And so to be successful, build these skill sets and help you in the job that you do. So I'll tell you, I was always a computer geek. Like my first computer was a Commodore 64. Okay. And when I was in the Honolulu Police
Department. And he's only 21 years old, everybody. Remember that.
Man, I used to get ridiculed by the old timers because they would see me with my Tandy laptop, dual floppy drive. It didn't even have a hard drive, right? But I was able to figure out how to write my reports with a dot matrix printer 10 times faster than anybody else. And this one old timer came up to me and he just said, what the hell are you doing, Tuscan, with that? And I said, hey, this is the future. This is the future. I am telling you, it's the future. And it led me to my second department in Redmond, Washington, where they have a big software company in their backyard, which I currently work for. Having this skill set, all self-taught. When I did go to college, I took basic programming and uses of computers, but I just taught myself spreadsheets and how to just use stuff. And I built this muscle and it got me noticed. And every time I just use the tools that I have, you can do that as an officer. Sometimes when you go the career track, how many people we know in policing, especially the higher you get. And I'm pretty sure, Ryan, you contemplated in your career matrix, maybe I should get a PhD, right? Yeah, if I actually counseled a former chief who was thinking of, hey, I'm going to get my PhD. And I go, well, what do you want? Do you want the corporate track? Or do you want like academia where you want to be a professor? Well, I really want to go to corporate track. I'll go, is your PhD in like biology, right? Or, you know, because we have pandemics, or is it more something that is not going to be recognized at a corporate level? You really have to look at, well, what if I'm spending all this time, money, and effort, even if it's free, the value of that time you're spending, what is the ROI, the return on investment on that time into whatever you're doing? So if you're really good at something, in the police department, like I was really good in software and I was really good, not really in coding, but using it. That really led me to the job that I have today for a major software corporation.
Well, and I like what you said too. I mean, Brian, I mean, your education doesn't stop in the classroom. And I always tell cops, don't rely on the department to train you and get you certified. You know, take things, go get your CPP, your Certified Protection Professional, like Ryan did. I mean, take it upon yourself to educate yourself more. Don't rely on other people. But I think a lot of cops do that.
I got one too. It's a TEEKS, T-E-E-X. I mean, you could get into any, you know, I got through them through the NCRIC out here in Northern California. Also with the group out of Central Florida, which is CEOFX, which is the oh God, what are they usually called? They're like a group that brings together everybody. Jump in and say a name here. NICRIC, no, Northern California Intelligence
Regional Intelligence Center.
Thank you, Regional.
There you go.
Let's try to break it down. There you go. But guess what? You know, there's a bunch of classes that are free. You know, the reason why I got into the data center world is one of the things that I have a critical infrastructure certificate from TEKS. I mean, these are classes you actually have to go and go to the classes and stuff like that. You know, it's not something you do online. It's not your, 100, 700 that every law enforcement have to take. But you go in and you take certificates like critical infrastructure that will help you get into the critical infrastructure world afterwards if that's something you want to get into. Mm-hmm. So there's so much free stuff out there, and TEKS just happens to be one of them.
Yeah.
So before I forget the thought, and I'm sorry, Scott, I know you're going to say something. There's one caveat. I don't care how many degrees you have. You can have more degrees than a thermometer or as many certificates as you have. What really matters is what you do with it, right? It's a tool in your toolbox. I will take someone that doesn't even have a degree if they can show me tangibly the programs that they built where they have examples. Hey, let me show you. And, you know, I'll take out some names or whatnot. How I built this program and I was able to save $2.5 million because there were inefficiencies. No one's going to care what kind of education you have. They're just like, I want this person on my team. So the results matter. So don't get too caught up because there will always be someone with more education than you. If you have a body of work that you can articulate to the job that you're applying for, and you could say, I am the person, I am the man or woman for this job because of these tangible examples I'm giving you today, no one's going to care about that degree or certificate that you have.
Absolutely. Scott, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, there's two things on, forgive the background noise of the professional crime scene cleaners coming down the street. So two things on education. Those of you that got that, thank you for laughing. Two things on education. One is take a look at what the job requires. So if you're thinking about getting more education or getting certification or whatever it is, take a look at those position descriptions that are most interesting to you, because that will be your guide on, like, do I need a master's degree? Do I need a CPP? Do I need this? Do I need that? So that's thing one. Thing two is, where are we going in the future with education and certification and all that stuff? Is here's my opinion. Folks that are coming out of law enforcement, whether you're retired or you're still going to continue to work, is you will go into an industry you're not going to go into for 20 years. You're not going to get the gold watch on this next career path. You're going to go into an industry, you're going to step out of the industry, go get some education, and go into another industry. It's going to flip-flop like that throughout the rest of your career. Mm-hmm. You work in an industry for 3 to 5 years, you'll get a new skill, get educated, and keep moving on that way. That's how we'll do this in the future. So it almost doesn't really matter what you have today, or how you're going to necessarily need it tomorrow. We don't know what the future holds.
Yeah.
But being flexible, being resilient, all of those things that we talk about with what our businesses need to have right now today, we need in our personal lives and our professional lives.
Yeah.
So be resilient and always, always be educating yourself somehow, whether that's a certification or doing like what Carlos did with the ILO program. There is so much stuff out there that you could be doing. Project management, Brian said that earlier, it's a great thing to be talking about.
Yeah.
But education will be the one constant in your life, or should be.
Yeah.
Right. And one more thing, I've got a caveat, because I'm sure some persons out there picking apart what I said. I'm speaking specifically to like the security management profession. Des Smith, who runs a huge company, former NYPD, on one of my podcasts, talked about how in NYPD, you can retire after 20 years. So if you get in your 20s, you're really young getting out. And he had people that outside of the security profession, they got in the medical field, they got in as a CPA. So you're going to need those credentials, right? And education to do something completely outside of the police field. So I was really specifically saying, as Scott noted, whatever you're trying to get into, look at what do they want you to do? And then of course the body of work is very important, but there are some jobs out there that have these requirements. So I just don't want to discount the value of education, but the time you spend building up those skills, make sure you have a good ROI.
Well, I don't even want to say I got my master's anymore now.
That's it, buddy.
I'm joking, of course. One thing that I have always stressed through the years is experience, education, and certification. Mm-hmm. If you want to, and I think it kind of ties in everything we've been saying, if you want that one position, that one job, whatever, those are, because I have a lot, what I have seen in my experience is, if you have no education at that time, but you are wanting to try out for a position, put your foot in the door, they just bring up their experience, but then they don't really articulate. They don't add meat to a professional profile instead of a resume. But I tell a lot of people, you know, that I talk to, it's like the education, the experience is going to help you out. And then also, of course, certification. But then also one thing with the current position that I'm at, they didn't have an opening. I went in and knew the mission and the vision and their five core values. And even the owner and the CEO told me no one has ever told us all five. And they, you know, in an interview, they tested me because I was like, oh, I know all five. And they're like, well, go ahead and tell me. And I told them all five.
I didn't think you'd ask me.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second. I did that because that is what I want. But then also, I think on the chief level, they talk about it all the time. But I went in and offered a 100-day plan of what I could do. And building that where I can show that I'm going to hopefully immediately impact the position and given that 100-day plan. And I do talk to a lot of law enforcement. Our brothers and sisters are like, what are you talking about? So I don't know if that's just something that they know when you reach a certain level within a police department, but you know, I talk all the time about even career portfolios.
Yeah.
All that stuff will hopefully, you know, set you above the person that's just coming in and going, hey, I need a job and I work patrol.
Yeah.
You know, you have the career portfolio, the professional profile, you have a 100-day plan you can discuss. And that comes down to working on that and being proactive, because you can't throw that together 5 days before you have an interview. No. So, you know, it's always a fluid document for me, trying to write down the things that I've done. I mean, I was incident commander at Santa Fe High School shooting. You know, when we talk to law enforcement or even military, all I do is say that and they know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But I had to articulate canine teams that I had to head up, but just the chaos of, you know, 150 different vehicles that were law enforcement, self-initiated or, you know, departmental, you know, coming in and talking about that. And you don't even want to talk about that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like just saying that now to this panel that I am trying to get somebody to think I'm cool or I'm, I don't know, that emotional tie. It's not that, it's just being able to really explain who you are and what you've done. You know,
well, it's selling yourself, brother. I mean, you got to sell yourself. You know,
we're taught not to.
Yeah, we're taught not to. But I like what you said, and Brian had a good example too. All right, I might not have the degree, and I'm not knocking. You know, education is very important. But okay, this is how I can save you money.
Yep.
This is what I can do. I mean, that's selling yourself, and you're right, Ryan. A lot of us, we don't. We're not good. We're good at saving everybody else, and you know, dealing with problems, but we're very bad at taking care of ourselves and, you know, I mean, nurturing ourselves to take us to that next level.
Now, yeah.
I got one for Ryan, if you guys don't mind, but because he's so fresh and new to our world that, you know, sometimes I forget, but Ryan, so 3 months, man, what have you realized is different? What have you realized that you had to work on, you still have to work on? What is it that is so different from law enforcement that you wish you would have known, you know, before you kind of got into this thing?
Just know it, just being well-rounded in every aspect. I'll tell you right now, even as an assistant chief, I was not big on knowing the budget. I mean, oops, did I say that out loud? Hopefully y'all didn't hear me. it was almost like an unwritten rule that, hey, you tell us what you want and then we'll go out and work on it. But the the human resources side of it, knowing, you know, your duties, knowing the different, I mean, there's always going to be a disconnect because you're used to doing one thing, but I don't feel like I was 100% well-rounded. And I think if I wasn't as quick to ask for help, which a lot of people might not be good at that, you know, then I hope I'm answering your question, Carlos, but, you know, the main thing is just understanding, hey, I need to know more about business and concepts and why we do this. And that was very, very lacking for me. And I'm blessed to have, you know, all of my leadership. I can pick up the phone right now and call them and say, I've got a question about this. A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
And, but that has definitely been the interesting part, you know, Carlos, cause you go from writing up event plans to now I'm writing proposals. That's not a big deal. You know, talking to a client because you're community based and you're customer centric. I do the same thing, but really drilling down in that aspect of it. I think, I don't know if it's a lot of chiefs don't want even their command staff to know a lot, or not know a lot of that, but not make a decision. You know, I'm treading lightly, but I want to make that point.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to commend you, Ryan, is you're very genuine and authentic, and that goes a long, long way. Being genuine and authentic, and a lot of people haven't heard of it, but if you did, there's this thing called the imposter syndrome, right, where you're self-guessing and self-doubt if you have these abilities. Well, there's some security executives that came from law enforcement or government that they may have the imposter syndrome. No, they're just damn imposters. I'm just telling you, they don't even have the skills. They are imposters.
Yeah.
But if you are open to say, hey, I'm okay not knowing what I don't know, but I want to learn, people will come and help you. Right. Yeah. If you're not good in budget or finance, there's somebody in your organization that is an expert. Hey, can I shadow you for half the day? Right. Or how do you do? There's all these benchmarks that been replicated. The old saying is don't reinvent the wheel. The problem with an insecure leader coming into an organization that just so happens lands a great job is if they're not authentic and genuine to be vulnerable and to go and ask for that help because they don't want anybody to know they don't know what they're doing.
Yep.
It's a house of cards and it's eventually going to fall. So my advice is being open. And if I don't know, I'm going to learn. If I make a mistake, mistakes are just room to improve, right? Yep. It's to learn and to lessons. And so I applaud you for being vulnerable, which cops hate.
Yeah. They hate it.
Yeah.
I've always told people, I don't want to be I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than me because that's how I grow. Now I wanted to take just a little bit of time and talk. We've brought up the topic of resumes a lot during this discussion. I just want to talk about resumes just for a moment. And what are some do's and don'ts and for the listener out there, I venture to guess a lot of cops don't even have a resume. You know, but what are some of the do's and don'ts with when it comes to resume and submitting a resume to somebody like you, Brian, or any of you? I mean, what should they include in a resume? What do they keep out of a resume? Maybe that's too broad of a question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Oh,
first of all, Brian, hang on a second. Remember, the resume has to be like 5 pages long. It has to include every award.
Even I know that's wrong.
Hey, Scott, you took the words out of my mouth. I received one today, and they had 5 pages of just training, right? You don't need 5 pages of training. What you need on your resume is how you took all that training and developed or solved a certain problem, right? You have to succinctly put it. But number one, this is the easiest thing, especially if you apply for larger corporations where they use the automated talent system where it's a bot. And a human's not even going to see your resume if you just go in cold. And so your resume has to match the job description. almost word to word. Now, don't game the system, because you'll hear people say, hey, cut and paste, use white font, colored your text, and then make it like 2-point font so it'll pick up on it. We all know that game. You're going to get found out and get, you know, the trash bin. What you have to do is say, am I qualified for this job? You got to have the qualifications. And then most cops have it. You just have to articulate it till it matches the job description. So when it goes into the ATS system, the recruiter will pop it up. Hey, this person's resume matches this, and I will marry it and pair it with the hiring manager. You got to understand, the hiring manager has like thousands of applicants that apply for one job. If you get close enough to have the hiring manager see it, it's going to get through that bot. Now, the easier way to do it is that network and connection and sponsorship, where I'll say like, hey, I don't know this person, but they impressed me. Let me connect this person with that person. That's how it usually works. The job comes to you.
Yeah. Excellent.
I have two quick thoughts on that. One of them is what I call the building door. Today, what Brian just said, a connection inside gets you through the building door, which then your resume gets you in the room with the resume is being seen. Back then, they used to say your resume will get you into the room for the interview, right? But today, you have to get into the building door. And usually, if you have a sponsor inside, that helps a whole lot. But here's another thing that I see, too. Just because you're a cop, you're not an EP specialist. You're not an executive protection specialist. So what happens, I get a lot of resumes. Amen. Just because you're a cop, you're not a data center specialist. Security for data centers are very different than security for an office space, okay? So what happens is that you create one resume and you throw that resume out for everybody. And let's say you're a good boy and a good girl and you do if you've only been in one job for like 25 years, please don't give me more than 2 pages, all right? So what happens is that they'll put in for every single job. I work for a major social media company, okay? What happens is that we've gotten to a point now that we only allow you to apply for 3 positions. We stopped that. The system only allows for 3 positions. Because what happens is that you were taking your one resume that you put together and you put in for every single security position that's out there, including security systems manager, anything that says security on it, you're applying for it. And then the EP is an easy case to explain. Here's the EP case that I wanted to say. Police officers, just because one day the president went down your road, which you had to stand backwards facing, the front, facing the sidewalk, right, while the president and his cavalcade drove through, all of a sudden you're an EP specialist. Just because you worked an event and one day you, along with the EP of this individual person, helped them cross the street in New York City from the parking lot to MTV, because they were doing an MTV show, you are not an EP. It takes a lot of work for you to become an EP, a lot of certifications, and you have to have the background. You've got to remember, you're competing probably against, I don't know, some Secret Service person. Yeah. You're competing against those folks. So that's the kind of stuff that I think Brian was saying. Apply for things that you can speak of, that it shows in your career that you've done. That if Carlos, if you're sitting across Carlos that's been doing this now for 20, since 1997, dealing with third-party vendors in the corporate world, you don't want to interview with Carlos, because Carlos is going to ask you, well, tell me about your EP experience. Yeah. And it's going to be really interesting when we talk about it. So don't do that.
Such great advice. Such great advice. As we wrap up, gentlemen, I would like to just go around the panel again and let the listener and the viewer, because this is going to be on YouTube, let them know how they can find you, how they can find your podcast and material. Brian, we'll start with you, sir.
Just go to coptocorporate.com and you'll have all the information. It's all free to help you thoughtfully think about your transition to the private sector.
Ryan, you're up, sir.
Just Ryan Irwin at LinkedIn. Like I said, that's the only social media I have.
I love it.
But also r.irwin, E-R-W-I-N, at marksmansecurity.com if I can help out at all. And just appreciate everybody's time and would love to pay it forward.
Carlos, you're up, brother.
Hey, so you can find me as the corporate security translator on all everything, YouTube, or whatever your podcast listening devices that you're listening on, the corporate security translator. Got the book coming out, So You Want to Get Into Corporate Security, on Amazon. You can buy it right now, pre-order it right now. It's a good-looking book, by the way, with a lot of information. And you can also find me on corporatemagickeys.com, which is where I talk about a lot of corporate leadership stuff through the eyes of my old Mickey Mouse company that I love so dearly. And on LinkedIn, find me Carlos Francisco, CPP, CST. And thank you, everybody on this panel, for jumping on and having this awesome chat, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Carlos. And last but not least, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, two things. We are in a crisis and we need all hands on deck. That means everybody who's watching this, you are needed, you are wanted. We got to get you in here and we need your help. And thing two is, don't go it alone. Use your resources, use your network, connect with everybody here. They're all here to help you, Patrick included. You can find me on LinkedIn, Scott with one T, Walker. And you can follow me on YouTube if you can find me. If you Google or search Protection Futurists, that's what I have as my YouTube channel. I need people to connect with me so I can get the ratings up there too. So
there you go.
Thanks, everybody.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your service in law enforcement, and thank you for your time. I know it's valuable. This is such great information. Anything I can do for any one of you, please reach out to me, and good luck in the future. And I'm sure I'll be talking to all of you in the near future. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.